This is Anish Chauhan and this is Equilibrium Security. It's time to tackle your biggest cybersecurity challenges head on. Each month, our team of industry wizards are going to be in the cyber hot seat to thrash out your burning security issues. So welcome. This is our second instalment of our hotly anticipated sessions with the IASME Consortium. I am proudly joined by Neil Firminger of the IASME Consortium, and Neil is the Cyber Essentials Manager. So hello, Neil.
Afternoon, Anish.
Good to have you on our latest session of our podcast. So thanks for joining us and thanks for taking the time out for your very busy schedule, Neil. It's very much appreciated. So this, as our listeners will be aware, is our second session with IASME. The first one being with Emma Philpott that we recorded as the previous episode. And this one is just to have a bit more of a deeper dive. So hopefully, Neil, with your expert knowledge as a Cyber Essentials Manager, will help our listeners, help our subscribers to kind of understand a little bit more about the Cyber Essentials scheme. So do you want to, as a kickoff, provide a brief overview of the Cyber Essentials scheme and how important is it against protecting against common attacks?
Cyber Essentials is a technical related accreditation or certification, and it relates to putting in some protective measures on your devices that help you prevent what's called a commodity internet attack, or shall we say, for this purposes, the easy to run internet attacks that come from the internet.
Sure.
These are the untargeted attacks that take place that people, you know, they're unassuming, don't realize are taking place.
And that's
what
a good,
we're trying to do.
And that's a good point, actually, isn't it? Because I think even from when we started Equilibrium many years ago, 10, 11 years ago now, that there's one thing that we hear very often, and that is, we won't be a target. We're only an XYZ organization in Birmingham, or we're just a small manufacturing company in the West Midlands. We're not a target. You know, it's speaking to those organizations, isn't it?
Yeah. A large proportion of internet or cyber attacks happen, you know, they're untargeted in the first instance, or using freely available tools. Even the more complex attacks that take place, mm-hmm. they often started with the easiest. If they can get in with easy options and targeted, or if they're using very freely available tools to carry out that attack, they will, and makes their life easier.
Yeah.
And what Cyber Essentials is designed to do is to help protect from those untargeted attacks.
Yeah, brilliant. The low-hanging fruit. So what's the main benefits for an organization then to adopt? There's obviously a revised version. For those that aren't aware, there's a revised version of the Cyber Essentials scheme. What's the main benefits for organizations that to adopt that new scheme? Because we do occasionally see the odd, not very many, but some organization will go, well, I got Cyber Essentials 3 or 4 years ago, I've ticked the boxes, I'll maintain that standard and I'll make sure we don't deviate from it. What's the revised scheme kind of do, and what's the importance of that?
Well, I think the important thing here is, why do we revise the scheme? Because the landscape changes all the time in the cyber world. There are attacks. There's always new attacks coming out. And we have to update the scheme to reflect those changes in types of attacks, and also reflect the measures, protective measures you can put in place against mm-hmm. those attacks.
Yeah.
And if we talk about one of the biggest measures we've put in over the last year or so, is we've introduced multi-factor authentication into mm-hmm. the scheme for your cloud services, or services that you connect to across the internet.
Yeah.
Because it gives you an extra layer of protection. And that came about because changing working practice because of the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that most people in office locations, etc., there's a lot of home working or remote working now going on, mm-hmm. and you need these extra layers of protection. So Cyber Essentials has to be adaptable and has to raise the bar a little bit every time we do an upgrade, because everybody needs to improve their cyber security. It's a team effort ultimately. If you're making good measures in one company, it will help protect other people in the same supply chain, or somebody you're supplying along the line. So it's really important. Absolutely. Changes.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point as well, because we used to see it before that, oh, organizations are saying, we don't need to worry about security. Everything's in the cloud, so it's all super secure. And that kind of the revised scheme turns their attention to that aspect, doesn't it?
Yeah, adding the cloud has been a big thing. But I think one of the things with Cyber Essentials is it is about companies putting protective measures in, but it's also about awareness and also conversations that happen about cybersecurity. That's the most important thing, is to get companies on the journey at the end of the day. And Cyber Essentials is the beginning of that journey. And these are, I'm not going to say simple, because they're not necessarily.
Sure.
For people who don't have technical knowledge, they don't seem simple measures.
Correct.
But actually, they are the most basic of measures that need to be put in place. And actually, they're effective. Currently, the thinking is they prevent about 80% of cyber attacks, and that's the common cyber attacks. And, you know, the measures that are there, they are mainly built into the operating system. Sometimes they just need to be configured if you take a standalone machine. But often when you start making larger networks, etc., it gets a bit more complex to put the measures in. But the measures are designed to protect a company of any size.
They are. And actually, sometimes we have two different types of conversations with some of our prospective customers. One is absolutely, they've downloaded the question set and they've started bringing cybersecurity as to a board level agenda. Great, they're talking about cybersecurity and they're moving on that journey. There's the other organization who almost see it as, yeah, there might be hundreds of thousands of employees or tens of thousands of employees, and see it as, oh, we've already spent $2 million on cybersecurity solutions. We've got this tech, we've got that tech, we've got this, we've got all these products. But actually, like you say, if you boil it down to the very basics, the stuff they should be doing, you know, quite often they won't be meeting their standards. They won't be meeting the basic stuff.
Yeah, that's correct. And you're very true. There are normally two ends of the scale here, you know. You've got your single person companies or whatever, it may not have any technical knowledge, so they do struggle to understand what we're asking. But equally, the larger companies struggle because they have to do it at a larger scale, and administration on a large scale can be difficult.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the measures that we talk about are actually, when you break it down, they're pretty common sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
You look at it, and a lot of them have been around for a long time. Yes, we've introduced multi-factor authentication that hasn't been around for a long time, but it's now getting more common practice to have it enabled on cloud services. You see it a lot in banking applications as well.
Yeah.
You see it a lot with the Microsoft Office email systems, etc. like that. So they're part of our daily lives,
they
and
are.
We need to do it. And it's not only, we see it with banking systems, certainly when you've got a home account, but it's the same's true for a business and vice versa, all subject to the same type of attacks that Cyber Essentials is trying to prevent.
So hopefully it doesn't become that thing that only happens at work. You know, it's for an individual user, they don't see MFA as something that, oh, it's just a work thing. They're used to it in day-to-day life, aren't they? Yeah.
It's a cultural thing. It's that thing. We've all got used to passwords over the years, but the next layer is we need to now, in conjunction with a password, also have that additional layer of multi-factor authentication.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about the role of the IASME consortium in the development and the maintenance of the scheme, of the Cyber Essentials scheme? What role does IASME play in that?
That's a really interesting question. We actually play quite a large part in this. I've been part of, or I personally are part of, the Cyber Essentials Technical Working Group. That is made up of two of my colleagues at IASME, so three of us in total, along with three or four members of the NCSE Cyber Essentials and technical teams there. And we talk about Cyber Essentials, and we've been carrying out a constant review for the last 3.5 years of how the scheme should be developed and reacts to different changes. So we listen to the subject matter experts at the NCSE.
Yeah.
We look at the trends that are going on. The change in the pandemic, we had to adapt very quickly, and how we evolved Cyber Essentials in that. But I've been involved in this for all that period of time. And we introduce things like cloud services, etc. So IASME is feeding back what we see coming through assessments and what we hear from applicant companies and people trying to do cyber essentials, and feedback that feedback into the scheme, talk to the NCSE about it. And that's where we develop the scheme going forward. And I've been heavily involved in that over the last 3 years. So those developments you see are not just the NCSE, that is IASME working in partnership with them on a weekly basis. We do discuss stuff about this. We meet on a weekly basis to we move the scheme forward. We have to adapt to the changes in working practices and the types of cyber attack we see out there.
Yeah, of course. No, that's a really important point, because I think from our point of view, we obviously know that it's kind of IASME driving a lot of that, but maybe from the organization's point of view, it might seem that it's kind of completely driven by, you know, it's very reactive from your point of view, but it's not actually. It's kind of driven by IASME, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's driven. I think we work very much in partnership with them.
Okay.
You know,
sure.
Sometimes they'll suggest we need to add something, or we say we've seen this is coming up a lot. So
right, I see.
We talk to them. So it's very much a partnership. I think it's a really effective partnership. Actually, of all the meetings I have on a regular basis with various partners and whatever, it's the most enjoyable one we have.
Yeah.
It's really nice to do, really delve quite deep into it, but work on how we make it easier to understand for people.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Really interesting.
Yeah, good, excellent. How does the scheme accommodate different size of organisations? You mentioned earlier on about the one man organisation, and you know, at the other end, I think I know our largest client is probably about 90,000. The biggest cyber essentials client is about 90,000 employees. So how does the scheme adapt and differentiate and accommodate those different types of organisations?
A key point here is to say that at the moment it's definitely a one size fits all.
Sure.
And I think all the controls that are laid out in Cyber Essentials, I don't think anybody would argue with them. I think what we have is challenges about administration and technical knowledge of doing it. Because if you take an individual laptop, it's quite easy to put all the controls in place around that single device.
Yeah.
But it may be a lack of technical knowledge that means a one man business may struggle to apply those. They may not have the knowledge, but in larger companies it is literally because you've got to do it at scale. You've got to roll out your updates in a certain period of time, which for Cyber Essentials is 14 days on your high-end critical updates. They're really important aspects to protecting an organization, and I think there's plenty of evidence, and I'm sure you see it where you speak to your clients and whatever, and we hear stories in the press, and you start to realize maybe if we'd done the controls, or if we'd have known that beforehand, that would have been a good experience. But I think I speak to all sizes of organizations. Equilibrium speak to all sizes of organizations. I think when you have a positive conversation about what the controls are in Cyber Essentials, I think that has that positive knock-on effect to those organizations.
Yeah.
And they realize there are things they can do that will really help them protect themselves. So we do talk about it all. I have wide-ranging conversations with some of the biggest companies in the country, right down to groups of small SME organizations.
Yeah.
And we're all the same kind of subjects come up all the time. They affect every size of organization, and the controls that we outline in Cyber Essentials can be applied in all sizes of organizations.
Yeah, so I guess the point is everyone's working to the same common goal, right? To prevent cyber attack, but ultimately the challenging paths might be different for the different type of organization.
I think it's important to say that cyber security in general, it's all right one company doing it on its own, that will protect that one company, but some of those threats that we see propagate across multiple companies and through supply chains.
Cybersecurity
is a team effort.
It is a team effort. Brilliant. Yeah, indeed. In the latest revisions, the latest versions, there were quite a few changes. You mentioned MFA before. What other changes were you know, came about, and why were they necessary? Were there any others beyond MFA?
Yeah, there's. I think I could talk about the malware protection is a good one. We've had to adapt and change the malware protection control. That's based on a change in technology. There are still the traditional antivirus related products that use signatures.
Sure. Yeah.
So signatures you download to protect updates and give you information on how to protect on a daily basis. So it's just a file you download, and often it's more than, you know, there's some products that do it once an hour, there's some products do it all the time. But there's new element of technology out there for malware protection that uses artificial intelligence, or also known as behavioral scanning.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have updates on a daily basis. It may update once a month, once every 6 months, maybe even longer, because it's trying to protect malware from malware infections in a different way, using different kinds of
behaviors, and
which Cyber Essentials hadn't adapted to. And we were starting to get some feedback that there were certain products that we couldn't allow in because it didn't
update as regularly.
How Cyber Essentials was laid out.
Defined.
So we made that
change
this year to adapt to allow those in. So
yeah,
it's a bit of a sea change, but there's lots going on in that world because, again, it's like anything, they've had to adapt to a changing cybersecurity landscape.
Yeah, and that feeds into the next point I was going to bring up, actually, Neil, about resilience against common cyber threats and vulnerabilities. So obviously, from a cyber attacker's point of view, from a threat actor's point of view, a tiny modification of a signature-based piece of malware, or someone looking at an attack based purely on its signature, a tiny little modification would be able to bypass that, won't it? So being able to adapt and tweak that is very easy. So it's important, isn't it, I suppose, for organizations to improve their resilience against those common types of attacks.
Very, very much so. I think it's a case of the thing with cybersecurity, it's never going to stand still.
No.
And no organization should ever think, oh, we put all these measures in 5 years ago, we're still going to be protected now. I think it's one of those things. It's such a fast-paced environment, and the hackers are always, or the cyber criminals are always one step ahead. You've always got to be alert to the threat that something could happen. So, yes, it's one of those. It is. You've got to be resilient, but you're going to have to learn to adapt. And that's why we have to adapt Cyber Essentials.
Yeah, exactly. How about any best practices? I know I have a few that I personally sometimes speak to organizations about. So when we're first talking about Cyber Essentials, we'll pick out one or two things, saying, look, these are the things you need to pay close attention to. But from your point of view, Neil, what do you tend to kind of hone in on?
I think I have to be very loyal to the scheme here and say I think you should apply all five controls.
And I think very well said.
I think you could pick up a key from each set of controls, really. So so for firewalls, I would want to make sure that you block all your inbound ports, because having your ports open gives an access doorway into your organization, especially if you don't use it. So you want to lock those doors effectively.
Yep.
We have a secure configuration area. I quite like the idea. One of the controls in there is to remove all the software you don't use on your devices, because, again, that could
similar
lead to
principle,
vulnerabilities.
Isn't it?
If you're not using it, you won't patch it. I like, you know, the patching in 14 days, I think, is really important on your high-end critical. That's from the security update management one. MFA on your cloud services, I would say MFA where available in any type of account you should put in place, really. And again, to have some malware protection running on your devices. You know, I know that's very generalistic and whatever, but I really do believe personally in that the Cyber Essentials controls, and everybody knows I'm very enthusiastic about the scheme, that they really do are very effective when put together. And you should really, these are the things you want to have as your foundation within any IT system you're running. You should have these controls in place.
Indeed. Okay, so what about, have you got any success stories, examples? Again, we've got clients we've taken through and we can talk about them, but from your point of view, have you got any really good tangible improvements that you've seen an organization go through from entering the scheme to kind of, you know, coming out at the other end?
I think generally we can take it from the figures we're seeing with the scheme, the amount of uptake in the scheme on a generalistic point of view. We've issued over 35,000 certificates in the last year. That is a significant increase from where we were 3 years ago. It's huge. And it, you know, to me, because of the work I do, that to me is another huge amount of businesses that are protecting themselves. There's always more work to be done in this. And I know that we're talking about probably about 27,000 companies in total are certified currently, because of the mix of the self-assessment and CE Plus.
Of course,
but that there's always a greater driver to go forward. We can get more and more companies on this, but it gives me immense satisfaction that I've helped to improve all those companies in a little way to be more cyber secure. And there is more and more evidence to state that Cyber Essentials is very effective at what it's designed to do. We talk to all kinds of sizes of organizations, and I see lots and lots of feedback, and we get an enormous amount of positive feedback from those organizations. And it is large and small. We see the benefits with large. I talk to large companies, you know, and I've had feedback sessions with them over the last 18 months where those conversations initially were a bit anti-Cyber Essentials or a negative, let's put it that way. But now I have meetings with them and they're far more positive because people are seeing the general benefits and rolling it out in their supply chains to give them that assurance that people are doing something about something that affects anybody with a computer.
Yeah, that is really good. Really, really pretty strong, actually, that is, actually, thinking about it. And then finally, really, have you got any insights into the future direction of Cyber Essentials? How is it going to continue to evolve, and anything that you can share with us that isn't super confidential, or anything about who's going to evolve to address kind of the upcoming cybersecurity challenges?
Well, we're always looking and interested in what may happen or change within the cybersecurity world and what preventative measures can be out there. But I think the biggest thing we're going to do is we've made a lot of changes over what effectively is 2 years, actually, when you look at when they've been released. And we're doing a big piece of work around the question set at the moment.
Right.
Because obviously we want to encourage more companies to take up the scheme. So we're looking at ways we can improve that and send the messaging out there and perhaps reordering the question set. I don't know where it's going to go at the moment.
Sure.
But we've decided that we're not going to release a new question set in 12 months' time.
Okay.
The next official release will be in 2025 new question set because we want the opportunity to take on board applicants, certifying bodies like yourselves, etc. We want to give them feedback and a time to settle. The multi-factor authentication we put into the scheme we know is a challenge for organizations and is quite a change in working practice, so we wanted to adapt it and give people time to adapt to that change and not give them lots.
Hit them with a new one every single time, because they're having to recertify can be challenging in itself.
Yeah, because the recertifying every year is really important, but we do want to give people an opportunity to understand and get some stability into their organisations before we introduce something new. There's a little bit of a proviso here that if the NCSE say we've come across this new threat and it's really dangerous, we need to make a change to the scheme, we will have to do it. But
of course,
the intention at the moment is we're not going to make any changes for 2 years. We're openly talking about this. It's a huge review period around the question set, and we want to get people's feedback. So we're building a 12-month feedback process in this year.
Brilliant. Excellent. Was that an exclusive? Was that an Equilibrium exclusive, or was that common knowledge?
No, I did speak about it recently at the show.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's not. No, I think one of the things we've actually wanted doing is a good thing is in. There's lots of feedback comes into us, and one of the things we want to do is be a bit more open and honest about how decisions are made.
Yeah.
But we want to react to feedback, and we have done. You'll notice in the new requirements document, the language is slightly different this time,
yeah,
because we had some feedback that it wasn't written in a plain English style. That's been addressed. So we've addressed some of that, and you can see that. And that's what we want to do with the question set and the scheme in general. So we have this feedback period. So 2024 will be a period where we may release parts of what we think be a new question set, but we want to get people's feedback. And we could do that just with the certifying bodies and our assessors, but we want to make it a wider period of feedback over the year. So we want applicants to have the opportunity to have their say as well.
That's really good. Yeah, excellent. Neil, thank you very much for that. Hopefully that has been really insightful. I know it's very interesting to kind of put all of that together into kind of one succinct podcast episode. So thanks very much for that, Neil. Appreciate that. And yeah, hopefully that was really useful for you as well.
Yeah, no problem. It's really enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Each episode, we're going to have industry experts sitting in our cyber hot seat, thrashing out your burning security issues. We'll have guest speakers and we'll get you the inside scoop from the cybersecurity frontline. So please do subscribe. See you next time.